I was last week in Lubbock, and a young man who years ago entered into the truth called me from nearby and said, "I need to talk with you." And he sat down in my room, first in the coffee shop and then for another hour in the room, and for about 3 hours poured out a tale of woe. Rebellious child, trouble in a little community with gossip, episodes of misunderstanding with neighbors and friends, estrangement from a pastor, illness in his own life, illness with his wife, problems financially. I mean, you couldn't think of one that he didn't have. And when he got through, I said, I called him by name. I said, "You know, God must really count you special." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "To trust you with so many things that are geared to bring you into more Christ-likeness so he could minister through you." Had to snatch him back from death, literally. And I said, "You know what you're going to have to do." I said, I doubt if God's going to change any one of these circumstances. May never some of them, but he's certainly not going to change any of them until what they've been brought into your life to do, you have allowed them to do. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to say thanks for everything that's on the table. He said, "Everything?" I said, "Yeah, everything." "You're going to have to praise God that you've got just half a stomach left. To praise God for a wife whose convalescence seems to be dragging. You have to praise God that somehow he's using even rebellion in your teenager to do a work in you and in your whole family." I said, "I want to remind you of something. Joseph was the victim of a whole lot of injustice. But every time he got kicked up. Because he learned to praise in every circumstance. And when he was prime minister of Egypt and revealed himself to his brothers, he said two things. It wasn't you, it was God. It wasn't bad, it was good." And that was his deliverance. And that'll be yours. I want to tell you, I looked at his countenance. He was defeated. He was broken. He was downcast. I'd never seen anybody more downcast. Defeat written on every line of his face. We got on our knees. He prayed. I wasn't satisfied with his prayer. I said, "We're going to come back and pray again." We had to go on to a service. We came back. And I said, "Now, I want you to pray. And I don't want you just to moan and complain to God. I want you to praise him for everything you've complained about. I want you to thank him. I want you to accept the ministry of this as God shaping you, bringing you to the end of yourself, that Christ may be your everything." And so he did. He wasn't going to leave till he did. There at the end of the bed in the motel room, he one by one enumerated those things that had been his nemesis. Got off his knees, praising God. Amen. My friend, there is a vital principle in the strength of weakness. Commences in brokenness. Continues in bafflement. Always consummates in victory. The victory of abounding grace and abounding strength. But isn't this the gospel we preach? Don't we say, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, lost and ruined by the fall. If you wait until you're better, you'll never come at all."